So thank you everyone for coming to the final talk tonight of episode 7. And before we get started, we just wanted to remind folks that Joe and Yvonne are both doing BSL. And if you need BSL or are using BSL, we encourage you to feel comfortable in moving so you can see Joe and Yvonne. And then the other piece is, it was so wonderful how many forms of participations and different registers of participation the last conversation happened through and with and alongside. And so we just really want to encourage people to bring it to this final conversation.
So we thought that we'd start this conversation from the lived experiences of this moment and this time together and this episode. And the conditions that we're all working under right now, and try and slow it down and decenter it a bit, and to bring in some of the things that have been crossing through these moments together. I'm gonna read some things from some texts, and also some thoughts and questions that have been spoken and brought by other people throughout as kind of moments to reflect on or to offer position to respond to. And maybe I just want to say, like, I'm really tired. I'm really fucking tired.
Me too.
Me too, yeah.
Okay. So okay, what is pathic? Pathos. That which is experienced rather than painful passivity. Pathic being feels pain, pleasure, power of being affected, changing states, passing across. Illness. An event, not a deficit. An inauguration that changes our state. A form of life, active and passive. Crisis. A beginning, not a resulting, that creates its own time and space without obeying the coordinates of an objective world. Crisis, putting one's life into form anew, in a different way, and fully departing from a rupture with continuity or identity of the subject. Illness, a work of reconstruction, a new way of relating to life. Subjectivity, a relation to what's on the ground. Illness, the moment when this ground erupts.
guess, to respond to some of those things. Okay.
Those were some words from an essay that Peter wrote, and I don't remember which one.
Is Peter's here, right?
Hi, Peter.
I'm Park.
Yeah, Peter.
Hi.
I was wondering, before I like dive into some of the ideas that came from the reading, could you offer maybe where the writing came from, the essay or the title, or maybe some of the things you were thinking about?
Are you asking Peter?
Yeah, I'm asking Peter. I'm looking at you, but I'm asking Peter.
These phrases, I collected these ideas. They are not mine. I found them in several different texts. Texts about disasters. And I was once invited to talk about the relationship between disaster and creation in many different scales. And a disaster, it's a strong word. And in general, it's a negative word. It's it's something that was destroyed, a destruction. But I've found in my life, in others' life, in groups' life, I think also in historical situations, that disaster carries much more than that, than this negative sense, that everybody crosses situations of disaster that forces them to not only reshape their lives, but also sometimes to reborn. Can I say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, to reborn. And I think these situations are very interesting, not only psychic situations or let's say personal situations, but also to understand a little bit the relationship between pain and creation, between collapse and invention, I found one beautiful text of Blanchot. It's a French literary critic.
How do you spell? Oh, Blanchot.
Blanchot. O-C-H-O-T. No. Oui, voilà. Blanchot. Well, great. So he proposes an etymological, interesting interpretation about disaster. It's when the astro, star, yeah, this astro, it's when we lose the star. When we lose the source of light, when we lose the center of the world, that which gave us sense, light, center, meaning. So let's say one major figure of disaster is God's death, the death of God. It's a disaster in that way, that in that sense that we lost this point which gave, offered us meanings, direction. So, is it negative to lose the center, to lose the already given source of meanings? The star that always illuminated us, is it negative? So, for instance, for Nietzsche, for Nietzsche, the death of God could be read as a liberation. Finally, we can be liberated from this center that imposed us meanings, directions, etc. So this is the start point when disaster can remove the given meanings and centers and open us to other meanings, other senses, other values, other directions. So I would make a small jump from this idea to another.
Can I slow down? Can I?
Is it too fast?
I was wondering, there's some things there that also, I was wondering if we can respond to it.
Okay. Hello. I suppose in that little space, I just go back from what you're saying about the death of God and there being no centre, no central signifier, no central meaning, that we can quite easily go back in time half an hour. But where Hortense finished in talking about multiplicity, and the subject is a multiple, so that's a little interjection.
I was thinking about loss and what you're saying, and then I was thinking about Amelia's piece about asking for slowness, and it reminded me of the workshop that Tina and Park were doing this morning and also on Thursday, and about disability and access intimacy and about slowness. And I was having this like real sensation inside myself about like how uncomfortable and yet desirable slowness is, right? So the loss of like a kind of speed that I often accompanies like talks like this, that's like at a tramway, that's like really, people come with a lot of expectations and like are really ready for it. And I just sat with such an uncomfortability of like, oh, I'm not performing the speed at which I would go to this conversation usually with and like bring. And that is like, that's a loss, but it also is such an opening. So I just wanted to be like, oh, if other people are feeling really uncomfortable because this conversation's happening in a different way, me too. It's nice as well. Thank you for saying that.
This is like so off topic. I was just, I got kind of caught up on that thing about the star and the sun. I just kept thinking about how black holes are so much bigger. I mean, how they have so much more light. Even though they're like always like, I guess, figured in terms of emptiness or something. They're like a really big nothing, or I don't know. And then I got kind of tripped up on the Nietzsche, like, with the, what did you say, like the death of God. I just kept thinking about the God of death, which is to say Pluto, if anybody's into that kind of thing. No, I'm not gonna go there. Cause, just because sometimes esoteric shit gets too esoteric. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if the pain and the creation were put across as opposites or not, or if they were just, if you said something, Peter, about looking for a relation between those words. And I just see them as such a conflation. Like creation and pain. I mean that I'm being really literal, like the reproductive labor that brought, I think, at least most of us into this world. I don't know. Kind of tempted to sing that Joy and Pain song. Oh, yeah. Sunshine Rain song. Y'all know that song?
A duet is about to happen.
You don't know that song for real? It's really simple. It just says joy, it's joy and pain. It says joy and pain. And then you're supposed to say pump it up, pump it up. Sunshine, what else? Rain. Sing it out, God's children. And so I was thinking, like, sorry, I didn't know I was going to be on stage. And, like, you gave me the microphone. I mean, I'm really sorry. I know this is, like, serious philosophy. Yeah, I mean, the whole singing it out, God's children, or this idea that, like, anybody can pick up anything they want from there. What was the question?
You were asking the question.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, like, collapse and, like, exhaustion, tiredness, pain, right? That's, like, what was on the program? Okay. And... And I think Peter's trying to open those in terms of, like, something I really appreciate, or what I think, and I might be misunderstanding, but something I appreciate about what I think Peter might be trying to do is open up what's normally posited as a lack, as a real surplus, or something that's, like, quite large. So I like that. I love that. I love you, Andrew. And if I could see like an emoticon heart, like a... That's so not it. Yeah, I guess what I could say is that I think in Park and I's workshop, which, you know, didn't belong to Park and I, in fact, was made very much by the people who were in it. I mean, Park and I were just kind of hanging out on the periphery, as we often do. And something I'm taking up from, I think, what Peter's offering out is this idea of, like, hapticality that can be a form of assemblage or assemblage or however Deleuze likes to say it. Does he say that? No, I don't speak French. But yeah, this like kind of productive force or multiplicity that can happen through bodies or between bodies, or maybe, as Hortense might say, have a vein of flesh running through it. Hi, Ale. Hi.
Tina, do you remember when we were at that conference at NYU called Living Labor, and Juliana Huxtable spoke first? And she was talking about working at a job that she didn't really like, and it was very tiring for her, and it was a kind of like about human rights. It was a job, it was a nonprofit job that I think like on the outside sounds like it's doing a lot of really good, and you get on the inside and you're like, wait, what are we actually working for? And she said that on the job she also would start writing like kind of fiction, so she has a really nice word for it, but like imaginative fiction, sort of future fiction, science fiction, about like a trans like tool, like survival kit for the end of the world, like imagining the end of the world, knowing what she would need and want, and what she and her, like what friends, like kind of like a ship or like some kind of vessel or place. And I'm still really stuck on like imagining and creating and making like survival kits, basically, that I think we are actually always making and remaking in a daily sense for ourselves now, because like crisis or the end of the world or apocalypse or however we figure those things are happening on different scales and, you know, through different temporalities in different ways all the time. And so I think that's one of the things I latch on to what Peter's saying, where the generative conditions of disaster, whereas we can think about disaster stretching out like in a very long sense and reverberating in different ways. And I just was thinking about one of the last times I was had a microphone in front of me sitting next to you in a different panel format, but thinking how I'm still really stuck on like Juliana's thinking about survival kits and like how we might use them and share them now.
That makes me think about like this workshop I missed that I was trying to be at the whole time, Howard's, like on care and revolution. Just in that daily crisis kind of way, you know. Did you guys figure it out? Was like, is the revolution going to have care?
You said
no?
You had a secret at our workshop, which I really wanted to know about too.
Howard's not really here.
All right.
Okay.
But
could you give him a message?
Yes. I've sort of clocked off,
yeah,
if you will, with a beer. No, that's fine, but I would like just to say I enjoyed the workshops, and thanks for anyone who came along, who's here still, and hopefully something will come out of it. But I don't... One theme that did come up was to cross the public and the private, and these separate spheres. And though I would like to talk about the workshop, we sort of had a sort of contracting about that and the confidentiality. You know, it sounds like a cop out, but I just feel like respecting that in a way.
No, that's cool.
You know what I mean, man? And this sort of setting. But my hope is that you know, there will be a word we used, afterwardsness, like from anything, it takes time to for it to filter and percolate and stuff like that. And then thinking a little bit of, I think it was Hortense and Denise talking about this immediacy of thought and expression. I know that sometimes has to be a little gap in that and stuff. Thanks for asking about the workshops. Yeah, they were really great. I am now disappearing again.
Thank you.
I want to say two words about disappearing. But in a conceptual, no, it's the same. You're right. We are too rhetoric. There is a small concept in Deleuze and Guattari. N-1. So it's very simple. It seems complicated, but very, very simple. N, is it N? Yeah, great. N is a multiplicity. So let's say a multiplicity of people as here. -1, we subtract, is it correct? We subtract the one which could become the center. For instance, Peter. For instance, Barry. For instance, the God. For instance, the idea of subjectivity. So, this is a very simple but complicated operation. How to subtract the one which in every instant could reappear. So it's almost a kind of continuous operation of expulsion. To expel. It comes from an anthropologist who studied the Guayaquil Indians, and he tried to understand why do they avoid, why do they avoid the emergence of the state? Not because they are primitives, because they are not intelligent, because they couldn't have a hierarchy of power, but the opposite. They're very, very clever. They have a collective intelligence to avoid the emergence of a center of power. So there is a multiplicity, N, minus the state, which is a virtuality. So you should also fight against a virtual one, not only the actual one, let's say, Barry, but somebody else which could replace Barry in the future. So these, I think, N-1, I give you an example of our Wayne's group. We always had a director from the beginning, a theater director. 2 years ago, or about 2 years ago, we almost dropped him in the sea during our trip that we a little bit represented in this piece. Many, many candidates to one emerged in the piece. The shepherd, the semeador de contendas, Pedro. Sour of stripes. So yeah, this that the dogs ate. Yeah. Many Caligula and many other candidates to leadership. And so now we work without director. There is no one that would be the center and who organize us and who would organize the meaning of the piece. There are a multiplicity that can, in an immanent way, lead with these multiple forces, intensities, collisions, alliances. That's not the harmony, far from it. So maybe this we could use in an institution, in a country, in a group, but also in a person. If I have a center, Peter, Paul, Probart, etc. So, and all what I do, I just attribute to this center. It's the one. How to dissolute this center and us, and in the situations and the, in the devices we sustain. This has to do with disappear. How to disappear, to give place to the multiple forces, intensities, and becomings that crosses us.
Rena, I'm behind you. Shall I say something?
Yeah, that'd be
I haven't really figured out what it is I'm going to say, so it's just going to come out. So I guess I just wanted to maybe, by speaking, begin to understand maybe some of the kind of threads and resonances that have come across to me over the weekend, and that are sort of, as we come to a close, sort of not making sense, but maybe they're beginning to have some dotted lines between them. And there is something that I kind of wanted to do, which was kind of bring another voice into the room who's not here. But I remember when we were going through the program with our production manager, Avalon, I'm sorry to call you out, Avalon, she was like, oh my God, I'm totally going to this one. I just need to know why I'm so fucking tired. She was just like, and it was a, and there was desperate, there was a kind of desperation and a kind of an angry desire for kind of answers to that question. So I guess that is kind of still an angry question that I think is kind of out there, and obviously we've been sort of investigating it in several ways, but it'd be interesting. I was thinking about what Howard has been talking in some of the workshops, the work care class workshops, of using these kind of mementos almost of poetic operators that maybe don't, selections of words that maybe don't necessarily have concrete meaning, but you can have interpretations around. And I guess I was using the kind of cartographies of exhaustion as maybe thinking about that in a kind of like as a poetic operator, and potentially then transposing that into what Denise and Valentino were doing in terms of kind of mapping and, you know, another, a different kind of project. So that was just sort of something I wanted to bring in. But if anyone does want to answer the question, why are we all so fucking tired? That would be great.
I just had the remark that, for example, that idea that now to be in that continuous disappearing or to be in that continuous decentralizing mode, that's exactly what's exhausting to me. And it's like, get me fucking together. Somebody, please. So it's, I understand, but I also resist it at the same time as an idea of something too. Because that's the demand. Like, I have no days, consequent days, where I can be in the same place and, you know. And of course, it's choices of how you live, but it's always this, always your time and your attention constantly disorganized by everything. So I'm already not the center, because I really make zero decision almost. And then it's, so when this is how that our time and attention is already organized by work and everything around, how do we decentralize that? Or how do we displace that and not myself more?
I was just thinking in terms of the resonances and so our question with Valentina, how to image an ethics with / out the subject. And we were highlighting the fact that without to mark that, the relationship to the subject, but from without. And the reason I'm saying that is I was thinking N minus one, in our case, if we think since our ontologies always presuppose one God, one sun, one state. One. So do we need to keep the minus one there as a reminder, or else N may become just one, right? But the N may just become the one. I'm just thinking about this, you know, this patriarchal religious way of thinking.
N alone is one, N minus one makes N not just one, but you need a one in order to be against another one.
Oh, just the one minus one, just to say. No, just a one, just to remind us
N plus
of
negative
the possibility
one.
Of the one to come back. So that's what I meant. The minus one staying there. As
square root of negative one. Set of imaginary numbers. I'm just interjecting. I'm really sorry, Denise.
Don't be.
No, I was just interjecting some math. Just like.
I'm tired.
I was just saying,
I
was just giving other things, you know.
Okay.
Like, you can, instead of saying M minus one, you can say M plus negative one. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, that's the way
of. Or is it? Is it the same thing? I don't know. It's a question of debt, you know, where debt is actually wealth.
Yeah. I like to think in terms of zero minus one.
Yeah. I was saying like square root of negative one, like the set of imaginary numbers.
But the X without the form. Zero minus one, which is N minus
one. What was I saying about debt? Oh, like it. I was just trying to come back to what I thought Peter threw out. I'm into the destabilizing or the decentralizing or organizing through dissensus. Like, that's okay by me. But the debt thing, I was just playing, and I'm sorry. I was just offering an equation, like, because we were playing with equations. And saying that that N minus one is a configuration that's based in subtraction, but that we could state an additive mathematical sentence that still performed the same task, but looked at it differently by saying that n plus negative one. So constituting one as a in a negative position to say like that it, what we could configure as lack, which is often how crisis moves through us, because we accept, whether it's from the state or from Barry or God or whatever. I'm just kidding.
I want to respond to what you're saying.
But just say, okay, just saying that, like, you know, when you can say I don't have any money, or you can say I have a lot of debt. And that's the kind of sometimes the same thing.
I was also thinking that, like,
I'm just thinking about the surplus of debt. I'm just thinking about what you have when you have a lot of debt, or who you have when you have a lot of debt.
I think about that in with a cartography of exhaustion. And I think about it because I'm exhausted. And I think about it because this conversation makes me wonder, and so does the workshop and the conversations I'm in, what if the aim or the movement is to not leave your exhaustion behind, right? Like, what if we will never not be exhausted, right? What if I will only have a surplus of exhaustion? And I love the stones that are moving in and out of the circle. And just thinking about, like, our impairments or our disabilities or our disintegrations or the ways that we're moving through the world, just like you're saying, as a debt or as a surplus. And sometimes I just think about how, like, capitalism and other forms of oppression create disability and impairments in people, right? And so I wonder if the aim isn't to, like, stop that from happening, like, stop the, and my language is gonna, I just need a second of slowness with my language. So what I'm saying is, let's not stop trying to have the debt or the exhaustion. But inverse, I think one of the things that I really learned from you is, like, flipping that script as something that's powerful, flipping, like, the aim to be something that we're moving with. I'm gonna say that in a more powerful way in 2 minutes, but I think one of the things that's coming up in me right now is, like, when you're in the middle of an audience, for me, it's like you wanna be of consequence. You wanna, like, say something really important that people are gonna leave with, and it, like, hits them as they move out of the space. And I think one of the things that is exhausting for me is, like, constantly trying to be of consequence and, like, say the really important thing that matters that, like, people will then tweet or retweet or, like, type on their Facebook status or get quoted at another episode.
We're about 30 seconds till awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, Rainey, you and already so are, come on.
I think I'm just thinking about the ways that being of consequence push me to also be exhausted, but what if I'm going to continue to be exhausted even when I'm not of consequence anymore, and how that actually might be such a source of power for so many of us, that center, that disintegration, that, like, disappearance. And then just the final thing, and then I'll wrap, is thinking about, like, being of consequence is so tied up to me with internal ideas of, like, being, am I talking too much? Okay. Being productive, right? Like, my productivity is reflected back on me when I, like, see that I'm quoted or invited or, like, my image is somewhere. And so I'm just thinking about, one of the things that was so powerful in the workshop was the ways that other people through, like, access intimacy or, like, connection reproduce you or reflect you back. And that is such a meaningful way that you can, for me, it's like, that's the opposite, but it's a different tone than being of consequence and being productive and having your worth or, like, a very, like, literal value reflected back. It's like making meaning with each other together. It's like what we're doing in the circle together. We're making meaning in probably the best way that we can at this moment, but without maybe trying to be of consequence and quotable.
Can someone give us a time check? Thank you.
I want to not answer, but just develop this remark of Valentina about disappearance, about exhaustion of disappear, be forced to disappear or to disintegrate herself. And I think N minus one is just almost a joke. Disappearance also, we don't need to take these words as, or the words, palabras de orden, as, no, comandos, commands. Of course, the disappearance of one form, let's say the subject, the ego, it open to other forms of articulation, of subjective articulation. It opens to other assemblages. So disappears is not just the nothing. It's not the love of the nothing, absolutely not. It's the freedom to re-articulate the elements and the forces and the inclinations that were subjugado, subjected to one center. And this freedom to re-articulate to other assemblages and subjective, individual or collective assemblages, this is maybe the most important. So the, maybe this is the other face of the N minus one. The minus, really, it's, we're not fixed on the one because we are already plugged. The one is capital, state, subject, God, but also art and many other institutional products. So we are plugged on it, but also we are plugged in an image of subject that there is a book from a French sociologist, La fatigue d'être soi-même. It was translated in English, the aware of oneself. Yeah, how is it? The tiredness to be oneself. So this is a simple idea. We have our tradition or the rules. They have no more efficacy. So we are. Oui? He says that the day will be born tomorrow. O dia. Não é isso? É isso. Ainda bem, né? So, just to finish this, this system that has no clear rules force us to reinvent ourselves all the time, and this is it's produce a tiredness to reinvent, to be very performative, to expand our competences, to make of ourselves a kind of entrepreneurship. Is it right? Yeah. But I want just to touch another theme, one second, because I want to make the difference between being tired and being exhausted. For Deleuze, in a small text called The Exhausted, it's on Beckett, very difficult text, about the difference. Tiredness is part of productivity. We work, we are tired, we rest, and we restart to work. So this is completely part of the system that allows us to continue producing. Completely different is exhaustion. Exhaustion is when we have exhausted the possibles, the possibilities. We exhaust the possibilities in us, but also in the world. There is no more possible. I'm exhausted. There is no more possible. It's different that I'm tired. Tomorrow I will work, because I will rest, drink and rest, okay. But, so, this idea of having exhausted the possibilities, my possibilities, the possibilities of the world, it's a completely paradoxical situation, because in the first moment you will say, shit, so everything is impossible. Now that we exhausted the possibilities, there is nothing to do. We are in front of a wall of impossibilities. How Alexandre said yesterday in the piece, no, today, wall, wall, wall. It was not clear if it was wall or war, but maybe it's the same. Yeah. So, how is when we confront, we are in face of this wall of impossibilities? And this is the interesting moment, because one thing is you have many possibilities, so you can choose, as in a supermarket, you choose the possibles, possibles, the possibles you choose. Another thing, you don't have given possibles, so it's this impossibility, maybe it forces you to invent possibles. To invent possibles that weren't given before.
I'm feeling conscious of the time and wanting to support participation from people who are not sitting in the center of the circle. So if there are other folks who want to speak now, I want to invite people in. Or if you're exhausted by the possibilities of this conversation, I invite you to not participate in a way that would make you more exhausted.
I just want to say, when N minus one was being discussed, it really stressed me out. I felt really uncomfortable with it. I didn't like it at all. And I kind of want to just, I've been eager to neutralize it somewhat with the invocation that N as a multiplicity is infinite, all multiplicities are infinite, and as such, minus one is a legitimate action, but also does nothing. Infinity minus one is still infinity. You can minus one your way all the way to the end and you'll still be left with everything. That's, yeah, I hope that helps.
I like the exhaustion with the possibility of laughter. That's something that I'm responding to right now. Other? Yeah.
In
being with the Waynes this week, felt to me also that exhaustion is not an end state. It has to do with a certain practice, exhausting the possible or the productivity, the fact of being consequent according to someone which says what is consequent for a subject. I felt pretty much that this practice opens a certain contemplative life of really letting other intensities arise, and sometimes being many, being multiple, allows that when myself I will not have how to respond to a certain intensity, someone else will have this ability to respond. And it's a composition of forces that allows to displace along many possible paths.
I also wanted to, because I think...
Yes. I would like to ask Peter if the Lacanian subject is the same as or synonymous to N minus one, if I'm getting that right. And N minus one would be a subject that's not all there or deficient in some way. Does it mark a, I think I understand what that is. Does it mark a deficiency of the subject or a lack of wholeness in a subject? And I was thinking that if I understand Lacan right, the subject already starts out or is by definition broken, wounded, not all there, or something like that.
Can I also like to offer that question to the room as well? Maybe even if you don't know what Lacan is, because I don't know.
I'm just thinking about this death of God thing, and...
That was a question for Peter.
Oh, sorry, yeah, no, I didn't actually allow that to happen. I just completely went off on one.
I think one thing, Terry, that happened was that Amelia invited people who were not Peter to also respond, and just to narrate, so then I was like, oh, someone might want to also respond, so that's why I handed the mic. No, no problem.
Terry was trying to spell Lacan, that's why
I
missed it.
There was like multiple things happening, exactly, to make it accessible. Yeah.
The amazing part was that it was spelled with an extra N, so now we can subtract
Lacan plus N. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about this, that some of the exhaustion might be grief, so it might be about a death of the self. It might be about that we are dying to identities when we start to talk about a multiplicity, and that the exhaustion might be a kind of subconscious grief that's going on because we don't have that star to cling on to, because we continually lose the thing we're trying to grasp by continually minusing the one. That's what might be exhausting. And I'm just really interested in that continual process of the continuing to minus things. Because as soon as Nietzsche says that God is dead, his new God is the death of God. So wherever you go, you can't escape having an epistemology. You can't escape having a new God as soon as you minus the one, the thing that your act of taking it away is then your new means of it's your new star, if you like. The way that I've dealt with this in my own life has been to continually, first of all, to continually accept that I cannot have a definition that stays put of how to deal with my life, deal with exhaustion, deal with whatever. But also to try to bring a play into it. So can I play with stars? Can I play with gods? Can I accept that if what we're trying to escape is a singular authority, because that's what you want to be free, then is freedom actually about playing with what we might choose to be our authority in any one moment, rather than trying to continually have an infinity of authorities?
Can I have a time check?
Yeah, it's 5 minutes after.
Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm. When I'm exhausted, I drop things, including my responsibility to the time and the willingness to work, and let's stop this now.
Should we end on a song?
Could Peter just give a short response to the question of if n minus 1 is similar to Lacan's
they're
subject?
They're like known enemies.
No.
No. They're known enemies. And we can live in the dark. What do you want to say? We should let everybody go. Okay. All right. All this talk of sinners. And like the whole time I'm just worried about the surround.
I love her with an easy touch. I want to
love her who can understand. I come and go in a heated rush. I can't remember.
I want a man with a slow hand.
Yeah. When it comes
to... When it comes to...
I want a slow hand. Yeah, kind of like a fast hand.
Oh, you like that fast hand. Gemini.
I think we should go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Doc is so excited with the scene.
I want to thank everyone for participating in multiple forms of exhaustion. And I would like to close out the space now. So thank you for participating.
About the Liz and the Kai.